I don't think this could be seen from there.
Definitely not.
Great.
Okay, great. Welcome back, everybody, to the Flipside Catholic Podcast. We're your hosts, Caitlin.
And Jeremy. But today we're joined by...
me. I'm Father Nick. I don't know if you can see me with all the glare coming off my bald head here, but good to be with you guys.
Father Nick, guess what? You're our first guest.
Nice. We're getting interrupted.
You're okay. Sorry.
And here's our second guest for the podcast.
Boom, bada, boom.
Okay, we'll pause.
Right.
Father Nick, guess what? You're our first guest.
Good to be here. Very good to be here.
Congrats. We're honored to have you.
Yeah. Okay, I got thrown off. Can we start over?
Great.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Father Nick, guess what? You're our first guest.
Nice. Awesome. Good to be here.
We're glad to have you. So this week we're going to be talking a bit about, like, what is Holy Week? What is the Triduum?
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're excited to dive into what that looks like. And Holy Week, I feel like, has so much packed into it, right? But we don't always know all the little details, or maybe don't always see all the little details. We're excited to have Father here to chat with us a little bit more about Holy Week as a whole, and what the Triduum season actually is. So maybe, Father, if you just want to kick us off with, like, what is Holy Week? How does it begin, and where are we led to?
Yeah, absolutely. Holy Week, it's the final week of Lent leading into what we call the Triduum. So Triduum means the 3 days. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, of course, right before Easter Sunday. It kicks off with Palm Sunday, which is a beautiful celebration because right at the beginning, we sort of recreate the scene of Jesus entering Jerusalem. You know, we sing Hosanna to the Son of David, everyone has palms and the priest processes in, in memory of Jesus processing into Jerusalem. It's this sort of high, beautiful celebration as we welcome Christ in. But it's always been so strange to me because then, you know, however many minutes later, you're reading the Passion narrative.
Yeah.
So it's like we remember how this ends. Like in a space of 5 days, like this glorious reception that Jesus has had on Palm Sunday as he enters into Jerusalem. It's just going to be completely flipped on its head, where some of the same people who were sort of singing his praises, like they've been twisted and warped, and now they're calling for his death.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so we kick it off with Palm Sunday, and then, you know, fast forward to the end of Lent and the beginning of the Triduum on Holy Thursday. One of the things that has always fascinated me about the Triduum is that it's actually all one liturgy.
Yeah.
It's all one liturgy. So normally when you go to a Sunday Mass, you begin in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then you finish, you know, with the blessing at the end, you know, go in peace. That doesn't happen. You start with the sign of the cross on Holy Thursday, but you don't receive the blessing until the end of the Easter Vigil, the night of Holy Saturday. Mm-hmm. That it's actually all one continuous liturgy with some big pauses in it. Yeah. Thoughts? Yeah. Reactions?
No, that's really beautiful. I didn't even know that until like a couple of years ago. I didn't even know the Triduum was its own season. I thought it was all just Lent. Yeah. For those of our like viewers and listeners out there, maybe can you explain like why the Triduum is its own season? Like, why isn't it all just Lent?
Like, yeah, why is it? A question I have too is, yeah, like, why is it one continuous liturgy? Right? Like, why is there just like, you know, there's a start with longer breaks in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so much of that is sort of remembering how this ends. Mm. Right? So we're invited, you know, on the Holy Thursday with like Jesus offering himself in such a powerful way, you know, there with the foot washing, like Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Mm. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like the God of the universe in human form now choosing to kneel down and scrub the probably dirty, smelly feet, you know, because they've been walking around all day in sandals. Like that, of course, going into the Last Supper, and then his subsequent betrayal, his torture, and ultimately his death. But like we know with all this, it keeps going, because that's not how the story ends.
Yeah.
That even as we enter into just the sorrow and the solemnity of Good Friday, we know what happens, right? We're people who, right in the midst of suffering, we persist forward in hope. We continue to persevere, because we know the whole story. It's not like we enter into Good Friday like, man, I wonder how God's going to resolve this. Yeah. But actually, like we know that it's all one mystery contained in. And so we're given these long pauses sort of each day to rest in that, but certainly not to like set up camp or stay there. Mm. Because we know that every Good Friday has an Easter Sunday with it.
I do love that, like the imagery of the Triduum, particularly, right, like going from, you know, Holy Thursday and then going into like the Altar of Repose, mm. and going into that time of like quiet prayer and like sitting with the Lord and waiting for the Lord. Like how, you know, it starts in such, you know, somber darkness, and then, you know, at East, fast forward to like even like Easter Vigil or Easter Sunday, like the lights turning on and it just being such a joyous, loud, like momentous celebration. Mm. I always love that like stark difference in imagery in the Triduum.
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe with this, we could just sort of take each day at a time, you know, each celebration, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy yeah. Saturday, and maybe just one takeaway for how to sort of pray into that day. So even if you're not able to join for, you know, the liturgical celebration itself, I hope you can, because they're just beautiful, profound liturgies, times of worship, like just that get you right there. But even if you're not able to join, just a way to maybe enter into each day. So yeah, Holy Thursday, you know, we call it the evening mass of the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. So it always takes place after sunset, mm-hmm. right? And so it's a memorial of the Last Supper of Jesus and his disciples there. And so there's beautiful moments in that, right? The priest will do the washing of the feet in the liturgy. But it ends with a procession. And the priest and whoever else is helping him, they'll carry the Eucharist. They won't put it back in the tabernacle, actually. The tabernacle is going to stay empty. And they're going to bring it back to what we call an altar of repose, which like you could almost translate it like a place of rest and prayer. Because what happens after the Last Supper, right? They go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus says to his disciples, you know, watch, pray. And then when he finds them sleeping later, he says, could you not wait with me even 1 hour? And so actually the church invites those who remain after the liturgy to stay and pray and watch. It's where we get our modern day holy hour, right? An hour of Eucharistic adoration. It's from those words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Could you not watch with me and pray for an hour? You know, and so for hundreds of years now, Catholics have gone to go watch with the Lord and pray for an hour. But it comes from that moment. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're able to do on Holy Thursday to sit and watch with the Lord and pray and be with him. Yeah, that's Holy Thursday.
That's really cool. I didn't know that about Holy Hour. I didn't know that's where it came from.
I was going to say, I didn't make that connection, too. And it's a beautiful, yeah, bit of, like, could you not keep watch with me for an hour?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, that's that. Good Friday. You know, Holy Thursday, it always feels like like sort of a warm anticipation, right? Because the evening mass is beautiful, and it's just like, it's very, in the best possible way, like intimate, right? Yeah. The washing of the feet and everything. Good Friday, it's always like, it's always felt really cold. And that's always a tough day. So it should certainly be a day of prayer, like one continuous prayer all the way through. I think of some good silence too, especially the hours between noon and 3, which are the hours in which Jesus hung on the cross. If you're able to go to the Good Friday service, it's always a beautiful, profound one. But I think one takeaway, especially from that, we do what's called the veneration of the cross. So people process forward like they normally would for communion, but instead of receiving communion, that happens later in the liturgy. But instead of receiving communion, there's usually a big crucifix up front, and you have a chance to touch it, to kiss it, to kneel before it. Just because, like, we should always take the crucifixion personally. Like, yes, Jesus came to die to save us, but more importantly, he came to die to save me. Mm. And that, that when I look upon the cross, not only do I see my own sins, right? As St. Alphonsus would say, it wasn't Pilate who crucified Jesus, it was me.
Yeah.
And when I look on the cross, I should certainly see my own sins that did that. But I also see God's love for me. Yeah. That even as my sins are written upon him, I know that my name is written on his hands too. So the takeaway, if you're not able to make it to the prayer service, I think would be spend some time venerating whatever cross you might have, maybe in your home or in your room or in a rosary or something. Spend some time with our Lord there on the cross.
Mm-hmm. I'm always struck by the deep silence of Good Friday. It is cold. It is like, whoa, this is, it's just waking up. It's like I feel kind of the depth of it, right? Like it's meant to be more of a remorseful day, meant to be more of a somber day, and to not just like for, you know, somber sake or just being quiet to be quiet, but to like enter into that, you know, suffering of our Lord who's hanging on the cross, and to like, how can I unite my suffering with his? And it's like, yeah, maybe it's uncomfortable to sit in silence. And a lot of people don't like sitting in silence, right? But being able to like go outside of yourself and to choose that silence, it's a very powerful thing to unite with Christ's suffering.
Yeah. Gosh, I was just on silent retreat a few weeks ago. And one of the things that God spoke just sort of completely out of nowhere, it just brought me to tears. It was just very simple. Just, I thought you were worth dying for. Just like, you know, the gospel simply proclaimed, like, Jesus died for me while I was still a sinner. He thought I was worth dying for. And so, too, with all of you.
Yeah.
God thought you were worth dying for. Yeah. You know, we can't stop here. We got to keep moving forward. Holy Saturday. Keep pressing in. Holy Saturday. There's a different kind of quiet on Holy Saturday. Like Good Friday, it's this sort of somber quiet, but it's punctuated by kind of some of the horrors of the day before, right? There's the people that, like, the crowd that jeers at Christ. There's, you know, one of the thieves mocking him. There's Mary and Mary Magdalene and John weeping at the foot of the cross. But Holy Saturday, I think it's the quietest day of the year.
Mm.
Quietest day of the year. As Jesus rests in the tomb. You know, there's a long-standing tradition in the church that on Holy Saturday that Christ ascended into Sheol, as the Hebrew word. But it was kind of like this. It's not sort of capital H hell, like people who have been separated from the Lord for eternity. But it's this place of waiting, right? The people who are waiting for the redemption of Christ, waiting for the gates of heaven to be thrown open by his saving work. And so like there in Sheol, as tradition has it, Jesus goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way back to our first parents. You know, one of the reasons why it's called Calvary, I don't know if you've ever wondered that, you know, it gets translated Golgotha or place of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons is that the hill is shaped like a skull. You know, look at this right here if you're wondering what a skull is shaped like. But another ancient reason was that they believed that the bones of Adam and Eve were buried under that hill.
Mm.
And that at the crucifixion of Jesus, you know, his blood, you know, seeps down the cross and into the dirt of the hill, all the way down to the bones of Adam and Eve, right? It goes all the way back to our first parents. Like the new Adam in Jesus, they're bringing a whole new life into it. And so in the same way, Christ descending into Sheol to go find our first parents and bring them and all the other ones who have been called to life by the Lord and bring them into heaven, unlocking the gates and winning for us a redemption that we could never deserve. So on that Holy Saturday, it's like, I think, a day of resting in the hidden work of God.
Mm.
Right? We know what's going to happen the next day. Easter Sunday, right? We're going to find the empty tomb and the risen Christ. That's going to be a day of rejoicing. We get to see what God is doing.
Mm.
But so much of the Christian life is actually resting and trusting the Lord that he's about a hidden work. So I think a great way to pray on Holy Saturday, but before the Easter Vigil and all the joy, if you're able to go to the Easter Vigil, I absolutely love it. It's a very long liturgy, but it is so beautiful. I won't spoil too much. But a great way to pray on Holy Saturday is to take all the parts of your life where it's like, God, I don't know if you're working here. I can't see you do anything. I'm still struggling with this, or I don't know why this isn't working out. But I know on a day like today, especially, you're about a hidden work. Yeah. And I need to rest in that. I need to trust in that. That I have a God who loves me and who's doing things that I couldn't even comprehend because he loves me. Yeah.
That's very beautiful.
Yeah, it's always, I think, a common struggle that a lot of people have during just the season of Lent is kind of nearing the end of it and feeling like restless of like, oh, it's almost over, you know, like I just want to get to the joyous bit of Easter. And I think even too, like for me, like with it's in the Triduum that gets hard for me, particularly Saturday. I'm just like, oh, like it's hard for me to
just checking your watch. Like,
when it's like, oh my gosh, is it almost like time for the Easter Vigil, you know, because it's so close to this joy-filled moment, this loud worship and great cause of rejoicing. And I'm just like, oh, it's so hard to choose silence that day and to enter in. But I like that encouragement and that takeaway from you of how can I bring these parts of my heart and my life before the Lord in prayer today. And like, Lord, I don't see what you're doing here, but like I trust that you are doing something, that you are about a good work, even if I don't see it. Yeah, that's hard to do, but that was a good encouragement for me. I was like, oh, okay, I need that this year.
Amen.
Yeah, I love the Triduum. It's my favorite liturgical season by far. I also love Lent, but that's a different story for a different day. But yeah, I think it's really great to look at each day individually, but also see how they flow from each other, right? Because they aren't separate, but yet there's a different way that we approach each day. And I think that's just a good reminder about how to enter into that time of prayer. It's not going to look the same, but it kind of builds off of each other, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have time for one quick funny story?
Oh, for sure.
Cool. So to spoil a little bit of the Easter Vigil, I said I wouldn't, but I'm going to. So one of the centerpieces of the liturgy is the Easter candle, right? We get the brand new one. You know, it gets lit outside at a big bonfire, and then it's used throughout the liturgy. A priest friend of mine was telling this story. He's at his parish and they're doing the Easter Vigil. And one of the altar servers, who was actually a senior in high school and had just gone through kind of a crazy conversion, like he was very much just kind of the jock guy, but fell in love with Jesus in a whole new way. And he's like, I want to be an altar server. And the priest like, great, why not? And he's like, what's like the most important liturgy? I want to do that one. He's like, okay, I guess we're doing Easter Vigil. about an hour into the liturgy, there's a moment where the Easter candle, which has been burning for an hour, keep that in mind, it's been burning for an hour already.
Oh boy.
It's up front, but you're supposed to bring it back to the baptismal font because they're about to do some baptisms and everything. So the priest tells the server guy, hey, can you pick up the candle and bring it with us? And the guy's like, sure. So he walks over to the candle, you know, grabs it out of the holder like that, and then
oh.
carries it like a log. Oh. But keep in mind, it's been burning for an hour, so what's at the top of this thing? Oh. A whole bunch of melted wax.
Oh. No.
And so, like he said, there's this huge collective gasp in the church as this wax just like is sailing through the air in slow motion. And he said, they'll never forget the sound that it made as it landed on the tile, like right next to the altar. It was just like a
oh.
And everyone's like, ah! But the guy had no idea and just keeps carrying the candle like a log, not the way you're supposed to carry the Easter candle.
Oh, no.
But it was fine, and they cleaned it up. And
at least it was tile.
Yeah, I was like, it was tile. As you were explaining, I was like, oh, like it was going right towards someone, and I was like,
some
oh
poor,
no,
like, this 95-year-old lady in the front,
just
room.
Like oil yeah. or wax.
Oh, no harm done, but Easter Vigil. I love the Easter Vigil. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I'm always partial to the Easter Vigil because that's where I entered the church, and it's just beautiful to See, you did too? No. Cradle Catholic.
I was just giving you a fist bump.
Man. I didn't know what that was.
End the show. Do that again. I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Yeah. But thank you for being here. I really appreciate you just taking the time, because I think there's such a beauty in the Easter, you know, in Holy Week, but particularly in the Triduum. And there's some things where me and Caitlin are sitting here and like, oh, whoa, that's cool. I didn't know that was a thing. Exactly. So I hope this is beneficial for you and for you watching. And I just want to really encourage you to enter into this time, this sacred time, and to meet the Lord in the stillness, but also celebrate with him in the glory of his resurrection. So, Father, thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Woo!
YouTube shows and all that, like, what's up guys, how you doing?